Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm telling you, in commercial breaks, you miss some great behind-the-scenes action. About 5 minutes before we welcomed you, or 5 seconds, I should say, before we welcomed you to hour number two live right here on this Friday on the Early Line, my co-host, Donnie Wrightside, was missing from his hosting chair, and we thought it was because he was going to find that visor that he talked about that he used to don back in the... Why is it on your head, then?
Hold on. Let me get it. Let me scroll over.
All right. Here we go. Now, this is something I have never seen. Yeah. I have never seen Donnie Wrightside in a visor. I am very, very excited this moment.
This could match, too. Like, this, I believe, is going to match up with us here. So, we'll go with that. How's that look for the show? I mean,
you're looking good.
Yeah.
That's all better than the Giant Century Red.
Let's go here.
Oh, my God. Multiple visors.
Maybe a little white. Yeah, the black really matches up with the fit.
Yeah, it's
today.
Good.
So we got the black on the t-shirt. We got that.
Honestly, the haircut and kind of like the flat top really works well with your head shape. Yeah. Oh, you look good.
There you go.
You ever wear those when you're out walking the dogs? Or is that only on the golf course?
No. Yeah, no, I don't really wear hats all that much now. But typically, like, when I go walk the dogs, I might throw in some shades, but not really a visor. You know when you wear the visor comes into sometimes into a hat when you go to the beach? Like, that's about it, though, at this point for me.
Yeah, true. Okay. You look like the old ball coach. You almost have a Steve Spurrier-esque look to you when you wear that visor. You look good.
Yeah.
I really was expecting to laugh a little bit more, but I can't even laugh. It just looks solid.
Yeah, usually it was a Nike visor back in the day. Like, whenever you'd be golfing, it's usually the nice Nike fit when you go out there. You got to match because you can't throw an Under Armour hat on with the Nike fit at that point. You know, Nike cleats all the way up. Yep, all the way.
Yeah. Why did you decide to go Under Armour now then?
I don't know. Maybe, it's simple. Like, you know, going to the outlet sometimes, you go into the Under Armour store, pick out a couple shirts. I'm big on Under Armour shirts, by the way. Not actually so much the cold gear and the hot gear, but just the Under Armour t-shirts. Always a nice find there. Got them in just about every color.
I respect that for you. All right. I think you keep the visor on for the rest of this segment as we continue to recap Major League Baseball from a Thursday to set the stage for the weekend. Donnie, the Cincinnati Reds. Playing really good ball as of late. Still three games below 500 at 30-33. But the Reds have now had their longest win streak of the season. 5 wins in a row, 8-4 yesterday at home against the Chicago Cubs. Make that 10 of the last 13 for Cincy in something that Donnie Wrightside did not believe was capable this year. Ellie De La Cruz, a 3-run home run on the 1-year anniversary of his Major League Baseball debut as the Central Seas face off in the sea that is Cincinnati gets the victory 8-4.
I thought we had the better pitcher here, even on the side of the Cubs, but didn't work out that way. Take a look at Assad, 5 2/3 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 7 Ks, a 2.74 ERA as it was risen now. He was pitching phenomenally. But even Hunter Green is one of those pitchers we're waiting to become that young superstar on the Reds. Now, granted, he does pick up the victory to go to 4-2, but he's got a 3.61 ERA, but still gave up 4 earned runs yesterday here at this point. Don't you love it with the hat on? I mean, does it add to the vibe of the show?
I gotta be honest.
Come on now.
I gotta be honest. So I was looking at the camera as I was setting up the game. The studio return feed monitors a little bit of that. So out of the periphery, you didn't see it all that well. Go down to check a note. on how many games the Cubs have lost, 10 of their last 14, yeah. Peeked back up, forgot you were wearing the visor. That was great stuff.
Yeah. There you go, man. It's what we do. We need to provide that entertainment on a Friday to get the people ready for the weekend. Yeah. This is, you know, casual Friday. You still got the jacket on.
Yeah, you're
still
good.
Got the shirt on underneath, but you got to throw the hat on to sort of keep it relaxed out here.
Listen, the execs can't get mad at you. You're still wearing the jacket. Mm-mm. That's really all that counts.
That's all
that matters.
So you
still look very, you look fantastic. So the Reds, again, winners of 10 of their last 13 games. Everybody now, though, DRS, as the Cubs drop another one, they've lost 10 of their last 14. Everybody but Milwaukee in the National League Central, multiple games or below 500 with three of the five teams, multiple games below 500, only Milwaukee, the only team in this division that has a winning record. The Dodgers were in danger of getting swept in Pittsburgh during the midweek, shut out by Jared Jones. Paul Skeens had a great start on Wednesday evening. The Dodgers respond yesterday. Some afternoon baseball inside PNC Park. 11-7. The victory for LA, booked once again as a favorite, minus 188 yesterday, an underdog slightly on Wednesday against Skeens. A total of 8.5 goes over. We saw some offense from the very start. The Dodgers played at 4 in the top of the first, including a 3-run homer from Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, by the way, you take a look at before that game started. Unbelievable performance so far this season from a former Philly, Bailey Falter. He's now up to a 3.69 ERA because he got tattooed yesterday. 4 innings pitched and 5 earned runs. And coming into that game over the past 30 days, one of the better pitchers in baseball from a weighted on base percentage and ISO power number. Now, take a look at Walker Buehler. We're waiting on him to regain his dominant form, and he just hasn't had that yet.
Yeah.
3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 4 runs, 3 of those earned with an ERA now hovering around 5. But we know what that Dodgers lineup is capable of doing, and they absolutely hammered it. I was waiting on this because Falter's not a good pitcher. That's why he's in Pittsburgh and not still in Philadelphia at this point, and he finally got tattooed yesterday. We'll see where he goes from there, but they needed that at the plate, the Dodgers, yesterday to get 11 runs.
Yeah, they did. Walker Buehler, in his return, nearly was off for 2 years, coming back from Tommy John surgery, 1-3 with an ERA above 4. He has made 6 total starts in 5 of the 6. He has allowed 3 earned on the bump. The Atlanta Braves, a victory yesterday in the nation's capital, 5-2 for Atlanta, in the opener of this set. Another 4-game set against the Nationals. DRS, Austin Riley, back in the lineup, RBI single yesterday for the Braves. Mm-hmm. That a very good thing. The Atlanta Braves win as a minus 165 moneyline favorite on the road in Washington, D.C.
By the way, shout out. Look, we usually talk about that Atlanta lineup, and anytime you're going to get 5 runs, you're going to have a really good chance to win in Major League Baseball, which they did yesterday. Inferior opponent against the Nationals, yes. But Ronaldo Lopez here, how about 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, and an ERA now south of 2? And this isn't a guy that, like, hey, well, he's only had 14 innings pitched on the season. He's been really good for them. The pitching staff from guys that we didn't anticipate having dominant seasons here, helping the Braves, 35-25. But they're going to be around. They're going to make the playoffs. I'm just impressed at the way they're getting it done here with pitchers you don't anticipate that should be getting it done.
The Braves lost a 4-game set at home in the ATL against the Nationals a couple of weeks ago. It was the first time they had lost a series to Washington in nearly 5 MLB seasons. This one, a 4-game set in D.C. this weekend. And then the two divisional foes in the National League East don't meet again until late August. That's August 23rd. So as we keep it on the diamond, but go from the pros to college, first we start again with history last night in Oklahoma City. For a 4th consecutive season, Oklahoma softball ends the year on top as a national champion. The first ever Division I program to win 4 consecutive softball national championships. The NCAA, DRS, started rewarding national championships or giving out softball national championships back in 1982. This is the first time we have ever seen a program win 4 in a row. Patty Gasso has an absolute dynasty and powerhouse in Norman, Oklahoma. The Sooners have also won 6 of the last 8 national championships, and they have played in 5 consecutive WCWS finals. What OU has done on the softball diamond, a dynasty to its nth degree.
Yeah, and why should it stop now at this point? I mean, they've been so dominant on the bases, which means when you are growing up and you're taking a look at where you want to go to school, if Oklahoma is on your radar, that's probably going to be your first choice. You're not going out to the beach in L.A. or down the South Beach at this point. You want to go to a championship organization where they just reload, apparently, every single year. And also, with the advent of, look at the transfer portal, you don't have to sit out. They can probably just cherry pick from other teams really good players and say, you want to win, just come here. You're going to win. And it works.
But a lot of it is homegrown. The senior class that just ended their career at OU, 4 years, four national championships, only four total losses in the NCAA tournament. It is unheard of what Oklahoma has done. So now from softball to college baseball, it's Super Regional weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Regionals, get ready, people. Were you just locked in and said, you know what? The finals are starting up here. And the finals we mean by, you know, NBA action and NHL action. But let's not forget about the college kids here. Some of those bonus babies about to be millionaires when that draft does take place. But before we get there, some interesting stuff on the diamond. And Ben, explain to the people once again how we make our way to the Super Regionals, what it means to get there, and also when you win, where do you wind up?
NCAA baseball tournament, field of 64, 16 national seeds that host the regional round, which was last weekend. It's at their home ballpark. Four teams at each of the 16 regional sites, seeded 1 through 4. It's basically a double elimination tournament in bracket for each individual regional site. So, in that double elimination format, we have now seen 16 teams prevail out of the regionals to play in Super Regional Weekend. At 8 sites, the 8 highest national seeds that remain, with spots in Omaha on the line for the College World Series starting next Friday. And unlike a double elimination format, DRS, this is just best of 3 here in this series between these two clubs that will face off in a best of 3 series this weekend. We have 4 of the 8 Super Regional sites in action on this Friday, starting as early as noon Eastern in Tallahassee between UConn and Florida State. Some big things happening today for Connecticut Athletics. And then we will have 4 more Super Regionals start tomorrow. Again, best of 3 in all 8 Super Regional sites, with those 8 spots in the Men's College World Series at stake starting next weekend in Omaha, Nebraska.
And by the way, some names that we look on there for teams, right? Florida State, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, expected to be there on a year-to-year basis. But just in that one graphic alone, you take a look at the first 2 teams, Florida State, UConn, Tennessee, and Evansville. Looks like it's a big mismatch in each one of those games. Now, give me the thought process, because it is a best of 3, not a best of 1, where it's like, hey, anything can happen in a one-game situation, like we take a look at maybe a college football or a professional football playoff, win and go home. Is there legitimate expectations that UConn can beat Florida State and or Evansville can even beat Tennessee?
Listen, wild things happen in a baseball game, which is a random sport, even at the major league level. College baseball is even more sporadic. Why do I say that? Just look at how the games are booked. Look at how things play out. Most of the totals that you will see, DRS, are in double digits. There's not 7.5s out there. There's not even 8 and a hooks for a relatively low scoring game. The 4 games today, 2 of them have an 11.5 for a total, the other 2, 13 and a hook for the over-under. Why does that lead to wild, chaotic things happening? Because there is more margin for runs to be scored and for the ebbs and flows of a college baseball game to play out. These are not the best pitching staffs that you will see on a baseball diamond, and there is some supreme talent at the dish. So we see a team like Evansville taking on the number 1 national seed in Tennessee. The Purple Aces, the 9th ever number 4 seed to advance to the Super Regionals since seeding began at a national level in 1999. A Cinderella story, if you will, and yet Tennessee is a -850 home money line favorite today in Knoxville, laying 4.5 runs on the run line. Don't just think you are going to see the Major League Baseball odds here on the Collegiate Baseball Diamond. So much more margin of error and wiggle room. That's why crazy things can happen despite what is expected for Tennessee. And DRS, I will just say this about the Volunteers, the number one national seed entering this NCAA tournament, one of the most dynamic arms in all of college baseball, with Chase Burns, who is probably a top five, top 10 pick in the Major League Baseball draft. At the end of this month or next month, I think it's actually during the All-Star break, so in the middle of July. So what you need to know about Tennessee being the number one national seed, since seeding began in 1999, only one number one national seed has ever won the Men's College World Series title. That was the very first year of this seeding system, Donnie's Miami Hurricanes back in 1999.
How about that? Canes all the way through. It was a shame. Look, maybe they'll get back to prominence, but certainly haven't been to the College World Series in a little bit at this point. Let's take a look at some other of the series out there. North Carolina, West Virginia, Virginia, Kansas State, Georgia, NC State, Texas A&M, Oregon, Clemson, Florida, Kentucky, and Oregon State. Are there any games or matchups, Ben, that you're going to take a look at and say to yourself, this is one I want to watch or maybe have an eye on? I don't think too many people are talking about this team. They could make a run here into the World Series.
A couple of names to know. Jack Caglione for Florida. The Gators very live. Their pitching staff not great. They were the 3 seed in the Stillwater region, one of those bubble teams that earned an at-large berth despite being a powerhouse. But now that they are here, rounding into their best form. Clemson very good, where that Super Regional will be hosted. I would expect A&M to get to the College World Series against Oregon. They are a hefty favorite in College Station. And know the name Charlie Condon. He's batting 420 something for Georgia this year. That's not a misprint. 420 plus is the batting average for Condon, probably the number one overall pick in next month's MLB draft. He plays for Georgia, but that is a great matchup. The 7 national seed in the Bulldogs against the 10 national seed in the Wolfpack facing off this weekend in Athens.
Let's get ahead of ourselves here, Ben, taking a look, because we do have odds posted at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the College World Series, and Tennessee a heavy favorite at a plus 260 price, followed by A&M at 360, then that shelf with Kentucky at 9-1 and North Carolina at 9-1. Is it so simple to just look at the top two teams and figure they will be the ones standing when it's all said and done?
So there's a really good chance that you will find some value this weekend in the Super Regional starting tomorrow, the second game of the best of 3 in the 4 sets that we have beginning today. That's how I would bet it from a Super Regional perspective, looking at those series odds. But Donnie, I do think there is value in Florida State, a hefty favorite against UConn. The Huskies very good, but I would expect FSU to get to Omaha. That 13-1 number should shorten by the time we see next weekend in the Big O. And keep an eye on Oregon State. It's going to be a great regional matchup, super regional matchup, I should say, this weekend in Lexington against Kentucky. But the Beavs have the pedigree of being a team into the Omaha 8. 13-1 right now on Oregon State. Kentucky has that third or tied for the third best number at 9-1 with North Carolina. And I do not think, despite being and hosting the Super Regional in Chapel Hill, it is easy as the odds expected to be for UNC against West Virginia this weekend. More key matchups on the diamond all weekend long. To London we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a week it is for American sports. If we can upset Pakistan at the U20 World Cup on the cricket pitch, and then we bring baseball across the pond, I mean, what a time to be the United States of America. We've got a 2-game set in London this weekend in Major League Baseball between the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. What a product it is to bring over across the pond of foggy old London town. Game number 1 tomorrow, 1:10 p.m. Eastern time, with one of the best arms in Major League Baseball to start this year. That's Ranger Suarez going up against Sean Manaea for the New York Mets. And then game number 2, bright and early on a Sunday morning, at least here in the Eastern time zone, 10:10 a.m. Eastern. Donnie, both the Phils and the Mets actually head to Great Britain coming off sweeps during their midweek series. The Phillies over the Brewers, who entered this week in Philadelphia on a 5-game win streak. The Mets finding some good form, at least, against the Washington Nationals. What are your expectations for the London series this weekend in MLB?
I mean, if you're a fan, you hope your team absolutely sweeps. But at this point, there's still way too many factors that come into this that you're not used to playing on a day-to-day basis in Major League Baseball. Number one, taking that long plane flight, having a couple days off, and then playing in a ballpark you're very unfamiliar with. And also, we've seen these games go overseas to London, and sometimes it is a launching pad out there. So from a pitching perspective, you hope you get a good start, but sometimes it doesn't even matter at that point. And from looking at a Phillies perspective, Ranger Suarez is going to take the mound. You should love that. But also keep in mind, this is the pitcher that last time we saw him took a line drive off of his pitching hand. Swelling did go down, but we'll see if that affects him. And then I guess Major League Baseball was like, look, man, you can't go over there with Nola and Wheeler because we need to have the Mets have a showing. So you got to pitch Taijuan Walker so at least the Mets can try to have some fun in the series, which is apparently what's going to take place with Quintana and Walker in that one. It should be entertaining, but also, you know what I love about this, Ben? Man, we're not watching this at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Put these bad boys on in the middle of the afternoon. Let's enjoy it. Let's have some fun this weekend. And that's what they're doing. So I love that. I love the start times.
That'll be a great time for DRS. I can imagine maybe like a Sopranos scene. Woo. You bring the TV outside on the back porch. You light a stove with some nice weather and watch the opening game or the second game of this London series across the pond between the Phillies and the Mets. I do find it interesting. The odds not out for game number one tomorrow afternoon, but I would expect even with maybe a slightly banged up Ranger Suarez on the bump, the Phils to be a pretty hefty favorite, probably at least $1.50 on that money line. So the most likely outcome is to split this 2-game series in a foreign land with some uncertainty at 1-1 plus 104. But for the Phils to sweep and win only 2 games plus 138, again, I would expect, and if you disagree, Donnie, let me know, the Phils to be a favorite of at least $1.50 in game number one. Anything can happen in baseball. The Mets have won 3 straight, sure. But I kind of like the Phils to win this series, win both of the 2 games at plus 138.
Yeah, if you were playing in New York or in Philadelphia, I would agree with you here. But there's just a lot of outliers on here because, as you see, when Major League Baseball goes over, it's not necessarily a business trip for the team. Like, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to win games here, take care of our business. That's our focus. These guys are being paraded around town. Who knows if they're getting their, you know, their right workouts in at this point. And granted, they're professionals. They're going to try their best doing it. But the reason you're going to London is not, let's just focus on the game. It's to grow the brand of baseball, which means Bryce Harper is probably going to be every which way in London all over the place before that game even starts. And also, you do feel the pressure as players. You're in a new environment, a sold-out stadium overseas. You know you want to be that guy to play that's knocking balls 450 feet into the seats as opposed to maybe moving the runner over. It's a lot of extracurriculars. And also, I say this, as a Phillies fan, things are going really well for the Phillies. If they were the Mets, my Phillies, and had that record, like, this is pretty cool to watch. I'm interested. Like, I hate the fact they're going to London because maybe I'm superstitious. And it's like, hey, Mets win 2 games. The Phillies now have off. And as I told you, they come back next week. 3 games at Boston, 3 games at Baltimore. So let's go Phillies this weekend. You got to get a couple dubs before you head back out on the road here.
Well, I mean, DRS, 63 games this year for the Phils. Everyone has been against a team with a losing record. It's why they have the best mark in Major League Baseball. That's what I've heard from only one man, and his name is Donnie Wrightside, second best price for Philadelphia to win the National League pennant. And yes, the Amazons do go across the pond following a 3-game sweep against the Nationals, so they're feeling a little bit better. But let's not forget, the Mets did drop 15 of their previous 20 games entering this week in that 3-game set against Washington. All to say, it's been a disappointing season for New York. Did you see the Philly Fanatic in front of Buckingham Palace?
Looks good.
Serving as
looks
one of the
good.
Queen's Guard or King's Guard? Clean. It looks really good. NBA Finals discussion next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brian Fonseca's NBA Finals focus following game number one, night number one of the 2024 NBA Finals, and a Boston blowout inside TD Garden. Fonseca joins us here live on this Friday for the next two segments to look back at game number one and if at all it has changed his expectations for the remainder of this series. Brian Fonseca is here on this Friday. Fonseca, glad to have you here on this Friday on the Early Line.
Absolutely. Anytime. You guys know it.
We are very, very glad to dive into game number one with you. So the Celtics win by 18, 107-89. Boston covering easily as a 6.5-point favorite at home inside TD Garden. Total was 217 and a hook, and it stays well under. So nearly a 20-point victory, Fonseca, for the Seas last night. What was the main reason Boston was so dominant in game number one?
They played like it was game one of the NBA Finals in Dallas. I don't know what Dallas was doing. Dallas looked like they were caught off guard by Boston's effort. Like, hey, why are you guys running so hard for these offensive rebounds and crashing glass this early in the first quarter? Like, what is this? Kristaps Porzingis comes into the game, and it's like, why are you blocking shots, bro? Like, relax. We're just here to play basketball. And then it took them a while, and then they finally get into the game in the third quarter and have a good third quarter, but obviously wasn't enough. They did cut the lead at one point to, I think it was 8 points, probably the closest it was, or something around there. And then Boston put it on them one more time before ending it. I hated Dallas's game plan. I don't know why they were, even as they fell behind by a lot very early, so insistent on, hey, we're going to shoot a lot of twos. We're going to drive through the lane. We're going to try to get things at the rim, and we're going to put up mid-range jumpers, and it didn't make a lot of sense. They had a three-point rate of 32.1. This is a team that had a 44% three-point rate during the regular season, three-point attempt rate during the regular season, and this was second only to the Boston Celtics. These are the top two teams in three-point attempt rate from the regular season. Boston has dropped from 44 to about 41 in the playoffs before last night. Now they're just above 40, which is still high, but last night they were at 32.1. You're not going to beat a team in the Celtics who's playing the math the way they are with three-point shooting, where their three-point rate was above 50% last night. You're not going to beat a team like that just shooting twos. You're just not. So it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then willingly switching small guys onto Kristaps Porzingis, that was stupid. That being said, I think they have adjustments they can make for game two. So
when we looked at that game one here coming into it, and the question marks were going to be from me, which team was going to show up? Now, granted, they're both really good, but having off over a week here, getting ready for the finals, sometimes you get a little bit of a rust. Boston, 37 points in the first quarter, Dallas only 20. It was apparent that Boston was ready to play and Dallas wasn't. And also, Brian, taking a look at the game, typically it's like you're going to lean on your superstars. Tatum, 16 points, Brown only 22 points, and still easily won. So looking at that game between the two superstars for Boston, the expectation are they'll probably get better even with that easy victory. So after game number one ends, how do we feel about the Boston Celtics moving forward and what we can anticipate from Tatum and Brown?
They're 1-2 in game twos in the playoffs, and Dallas hasn't lost a game two yet in the playoffs. Dallas is also 5-2 in game twos with Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic averages about 34-8-7 or 34-9-8, whatever it is, one of those two in game twos. So that's really it, right? That's the hurdle that Boston has. It's like you have to be able to keep your foot on somebody's throat, somebody who's better than the Heat without Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier, the Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton, and the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen, and later Caris LeVert. No big deal. But I think that's really what it is they have these letdown spots. Third quarter was kind of a letdown spot for them last night. I do think that Dallas is going to make some adjustments, and the main thing for me is if they bomb away more from three, they can potentially level this out. Boston was great from three early on. It kind of calmed as the game went a little bit, and then they were able to have enough to finish there. So, you know, there's a world where they just are red hot from three again. But I think there are some things, as I alluded to already, that Dallas can do in game two.
A 15-shot distinction from three-point range between the two. Dallas just 7 of 27 from three last night. Boston shot it 42 times, only made 16 when all was said and done. But you can tell the offensive efficiency that the Boston Celtics operate at. All five starters making multiple threes, and that includes their sixth man last night in Kristaps Porzingis, who had 20 points in his first basketball game in nearly a month and a half since game number 4 of the opening round series against the Miami Heat. That was back on April 29th. KP back in the rotation last night, Fonseca. What does it mean for the Seas to have Porzingis back?
Yeah, he looked awesome. I'm somebody who was like, man, we have to see, because calf injuries are tricky. We've seen Kevin Durant return from a calf injury and then tear his Achilles after 11, 12 minutes of playing basketball. And that was around the same amount of time that Kristaps Porzingis missed. Kristaps Porzingis sat, yeah, I believe, 5 more days. So, yeah, we'll have to see him make it through the series healthy, but he looked excellent last night. And the thing about him was his plays were loud. His plays on offense were loud. There were threes from 27, 29, 30 feet. He was getting and ones. He was taking advantage over smaller guys like Derrick Jones Jr., for example, which, again, I don't know why Dallas willingly gave him those switches, but that was what it was. And then on the defensive end, there were loud block shots, rim protection in general. I think if you have a ticket for him, which was a hefty one, if you have a ticket for him to get Finals MVP, you're looking pretty good right now. Mm-hmm. The only thing is he going to continue to do this? Is he going to continue to do this with – they said there was going to be no minutes restriction. Of course there was, because look at the game. He also came off the bench. I think for now, just keep him there. Keep him in the six-man role, because it actually strengthens your depth. Like, Boston is a very good team. They're not an especially deep one. They look deeper when Kristaps Porzingis is coming off the bench as their sixth man next to Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard, as opposed to it just being Al Horford or, you know, somebody else on their lineup. So I like the idea of keeping them coming off the bench, at least for now. And if Dallas wins game two, you could sort of readjust and see moving forward. But if they keep them on the bench and they win game two, go up 2-0, then, yeah, I have no reason to see that Kristaps Porzingis should be even returning to the starting lineup if you still want to manage his minutes.
I agree. I think it's a great take on that, because if it isn't broken, don't fix it. He was wonderful coming off the bench. It almost would get you a little bit alarmed if he came off the bench, played 20 minutes, and went 0 of 7 from three-point range, because he's used to being in the starting lineup. We'll see what happens in game two, game three, and we'll see, obviously, if we have an extended series. But if we do look at the superstars for the Dallas Mavericks here, Brian, Kyrie Irving, 6 of 19 from the floor, 12 points, a minus 19, not good enough. We knew we were going to get a high usage rate out of Luka Doncic, playing 38 minutes, 12 of 26 from the floor, 10 rebounds, but only one assist, accounting for 30 points here. What are the expectations moving forward from those two? And do we need giant performances just to be competitive here, apparently, against the Boston Celtics out of those guys?
I feel like you need one of those two to have a giant performance. Kyrie Irving absolutely has to be better. Luka Doncic as well. I thought his 30 points were kind of just like, they were just 30 points, but you didn't really feel them like that until, you know, somewhat the third quarter. But for the most part, it wasn't an appreciably awesome Luka Doncic game, even though aesthetically people are going to look at, hey, he got 30 points, he got 10 rebounds. But no, it didn't look like that. It didn't feel like that. Kyrie Irving, though, he just looked frazzled from the beginning. It was weird. I think he's too nice. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, the ayahuasca or whatever rumored, like, but now he's just like, he's turned over a new leaf. He's a great guy all of a sudden. And he's, you know, God bless you and praying for everybody and shaking everybody's hands and whatever. And he actually gave credit to a ref for calling him for like a travel or whatever it was last night. And I'm like, bro, like, it's the finals. You got to be a killer, man. Especially in this arena where they're booing you every time you get the ball. Derek White and Drew Holiday guarding you, like, that's obviously going to be tough. And this is why I didn't think he was going to have an amazing scoring series. But I do think he could still have amazing scoring moments. But, man, I would like for him to be more, not aggressive from like just a shot standpoint, because he had 19. But I don't know. I just want to see him, like, really come at people's throats a little bit more. I feel like he's being a little too nice.
He needs more hostility. He said the Boston crowd wasn't all that bad last night. What's happening to the Kyrie we know? More on the NBA Finals next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Celtics victorious on the opening night of the 2024 NBA Finals, winning 107-89, covering as a 6.5-point favorite. As Brian Fonseca joins us for a second consecutive segment, Fonseca, I think it's pretty easy to say. The Celtics were a 6.5-point home favorite. They have played 50 games in being down this year. They have won 44 of those 50 home games inside TD Garden. So Boston winning game one, even of the NBA Finals at home, is not overly shocking or surprising, but in the manner of which they did, winning by nearly 20, 107-89, maybe that has altered some viewpoint of how the rest of this NBA championship series plays out. Did the 18-point win for the Seas change how you think the rest of the NBA Finals goes?
No, because I came in with the mindset that what Dallas needs to do if they want to prolong this series is they have to split in Boston and at least split in Dallas. One of the bets I like going into this series was 2-2 after four, because I could see Dallas, as they have been, they've been winning game twos on the road. They've done it in every series so far in the playoffs. And Boston has obviously had a couple letdown spots against much inferior teams based on health. But Dallas has been able to do this already. And I felt like, all right, Dallas can get the split against Boston, who not a great home playoff team over the last several years, but very, very good on the road. And Dallas isn't like amazing at home in the playoffs. So it just felt logical to me that you can get a 2-2 split. I felt like this was a 6-game series at minimum, because, I mean, I feel like Luka Doncic would win more than one game in this playoff series. So this is shaping up to me. I mean, I didn't think Dallas would come out like that in game one, because, you know, that I don't know what their game plan was again. Like, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me just from a schematic standpoint. But just I'm not like more worried about, hey, this could be a sweep now after watching game one. We've all been watching basketball long enough to know the weirdest game in the series is often game one. Like, weird things just happen in game one, and then we'll see some adjustments, and then adjustments to the adjustments, and then counters to those counters and things of that nature. So to me, it's just business as usual almost.
Taking a look at some of these price points, Brian, in this series now, and you're right about this. Like, you don't get three wins for a blowout victory in game number one. It still only counts as one win. You go into game number two, and Dallas can even that up before going back to Dallas. But the Boston Celtics, a -2.5 spread number now at a +122 price. So expecting a much more quicker series here, apparently. And Boston, which came in yesterday around that -220 marker, now sits at a -420 marker the rest of the way. So if we're looking at some of those odds and statistics there, moving forward, does it entice you a little bit more to take Dallas, or is it just like that public opinion of, wow, I can't take Dallas now based on what I just saw in game number one? We're probably going to get that same expectation throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah, for me personally, I don't feel the need to do anything because I have a Mavericks 23-1 future, and Boston just won game one. So if I wanted to hedge, I'm probably like, why would I do that now? Like, just wait after they potentially lose game two. The line might not even adjust that much. It would probably have to be after game four if it's 2-2 like I want. Like, that's probably, if I want to get back in on Boston, that's probably the spot I want. But then I'd look at it and be like, hey, now it's a best of three. Do I want to take Boston to win two of these? I don't know. Because again, out of respect for Dallas and what mm-hmm. they've accomplished. So to me, I think if I weren't in the 23-1 club, so to speak, with my Mavs future, then yeah, I'd probably look at this and be like, oh, that +2.5 is interesting, because I think now there could be an overreaction to the game one that we just saw. And also there is a world where Boston actually, they did win game two last series. It was against the Pacers and Andrew Nembhard and basically, but they won game two last series. There's a world where it's like, all right, maybe Boston could actually like end this in five. I don't think any of us think that they're going to suddenly sweep Dallas, because we probably have more respect for them and for Luka Doncic in particular. But a lot of people were looking at Celtics in five, Celtics in six. And I think those people are in pretty good position. If you're like me and you're like, hey, Dallas could win this series if they push this to a seventh game, because I mean, Luka Doncic on the road in a game seven is terrifying, especially in Boston, where we've seen them drop a home game seven recently. Yeah, I think everyone should sort of stay pat, because it was just game one.
Yeah, I still think the best bets right now with where the series odds have shifted following Boston's dominance in game one is looking at Dallas covering 2.5 games. That means if it gets to 6, the Mavericks have already cashed that ticket, or just the over-under of total games now standing at 5.5. It was 5.5, but the over had more juice. Now it's just -130. Fonseca, let's look at the NBA Finals MVP odds. You mentioned that if you had a large ticket on Kristaps Porzingis before the opening night, you're feeling good right now. KP, fourth shortest number at 7-1. It's pretty clear from the odds makers that if Dallas wins the NBA championship, Luka Doncic is going to win the NBA Finals MVP. The Mavericks priced to win the series outright +330. Luka's individual number +350. So we'll save that conversation about Doncic for another time. If the Boston Celtics end up winning championship number 18 in organization history, who would get your bet to win NBA Finals MVP?
I still think the odds on Tatum are too, like, short. Like, I feel like Jaylen Brown is kind of the best value here because I don't know what Kristaps Porzingis, like, is he going to be in this six-man role going forward? If so, I don't think we could reasonably expect him to do what he did last night in every single game. He kind of would need to, even though I think he's a walking matchup problem for the Mavs, and they're going to have to really figure something out. But at some point, you think he's going to miss shots, and a lot of this is predicated on making loud plays on both ends of the floor, which he did, which Jaylen Brown also did. And I thought Jaylen Brown was great last night, and I think he's probably the value play here. I don't know if he's going to go Eastern Conference Finals MVP and then, you know, Finals MVP, but I do think that at +280, it was +300 last night. On the market, I think Jaylen Brown is a nice value play here. It's most likely, like, it would more than likely be Tatum than anyone else. But given the start that Jaylen Brown's had and how sustainable I think that could be, he's probably where I'd look if I wanted some value. You're getting almost 3-1 odds there.
Jaylen Brown, Boston's leading scorer last night, finishing with 22, albeit still under his points prop of 23.5. Brian Fonseca, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on the Early Line, and have a great weekend. What a weekend we have in store. Johnny, give you some picks next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a weekend of sports we have in this second full weekend of June, live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Not quite a pick six, more like a take five, where we will have five picks for you across the weekend slate, where we'll have game two in Boston of the 2024 NBA Finals on Sunday evening. Game number one of the Stanley Cup Final comes your way tomorrow on a Saturday night in Sunrise, Florida, between the Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. Anna Dua joins us in our third and final hour for a full preview of some true hockey knowledge on the ice. But now, this take five. We've got the Belmont Stakes this weekend, the third leg of the Triple Crown, but up in Saratoga. We've got the signature event on the PGA Tour at Jack's Place in Dublin, Ohio, at the Memorial Tournament. Not called the Memorial because it takes place on Memorial Day weekend. We've got the French Open Finals, the women's final tomorrow, Iga Świątek, a hefty favorite, and semifinal Friday playing out right now in Paris with the men's final on Sunday. And, of course, we give you a Stanley Cup prediction as well. Donnie, what more could you want for a weekend in sports than what we have here?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one here. Now, we do have some weekend winners that we're going to be giving out, which have some questionable, choices here. Not with who I picked, but why are we picking these certain things? Because it says weekend winners, which means you're supposed to win these on the weekend. There's a topic in there which you can't win this weekend. And also, there's another NBA game taking place this weekend here. So maybe some thought process would have been a little bit better here cleaning this up, BWS.
Wow. Again, Donnie Wrightside comes for the production staff here on the show. So DRS, without further ado, let's get it going for something you can win on the weekend. That would be tomorrow night up in Saratoga, New York. Now, not out on Long Island. It's the 2024 Belmont Stakes, by the way. our guy, Dubsy. Dubs Anderson joins us next hour in just about 20 minutes for a full preview of the third leg of the Triple Crown. But Donnie, who do you have as that horse winning the Belmont?
I got Seize the Gray. And why I have him? I just like the name. So there you go. Seize the Gray is going to win this bad boy. I think he's. I don't think he's a mutter, so I don't think it's supposed to rain up there. So I do like his action. Can you tell me where's he actually coming out of? Like, what's the lane he's in, I guess you should say, or the shoot? Is he one, two, three?
I couldn't find that. I know that he has the fourth.
Yeah.
He has the fourth best odds at 8-1. We don't know his pole position at this moment. Now, let me ask you this question. Has Seize the Gray won one of the two legs of the Triple Crown so far?
No. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, he won the Preakness, dude.
He did? Oh, wow. All right. So now we're riding the hot hand at this point. So there you go. Perfect. Perfect pick at this point. Oh, he's
you didn't
five
even
yet.
Know the horse you picked no. won the Preakness?
No.
Oh, need the background man. This is already just, off.
You
already
pick the
off
name,
to a
you
great
get it going,
start.
You rock and roll. Yeah. Absolutely, he's going to win.
Mine is Sierra Leone, by the way, because Sierra Leone barely lost out in the closest ever finish to Mystic
on your
Dan,
back right
Dan at the Kentucky Derby. So that's why Sierra Leone is going to win here in Belmont. He is the favorite at a 9-5 starting post number. Who's winning the Memorial, DRS?
By the way, I went Xander Schauffele here. Again, momentum. Yeah. Like, you can ask me, like, yes, he did win a previous tournament, which was the PGA, and now he's going to be setting up shop here, ready to rock and roll. So I like this. Xander Schauffele right in it here. It's hard to go against Scotty, but I'll go Xander here for some fun.
Listen, Xander got off to a great opening round yesterday. Right now, the leader is Adam Hadwin, who's off to a good start, 2-under through his first seven holes of this second round. Schauffele at 4-under, a stacked leaderboard. Colin Morikawa, 4-under. Ludvig Åberg, 4-under. But Scotty in second right now at 5-under. So although he is the short favorite, Scotty Scheffler gets my vote to win the Memorial and a handshake from Jack Nicklaus on Sunday afternoon. Men's and women's French Open title winners. Who do you got?
Men's, I got Carlos Alcaraz. I believe he's playing right now, and he does have the lead. And I didn't know who he's playing this morning, but I just think he's the best tennis player in the world. What's score?
He's coming back in set two. He was down 2-1 in the second set after dropping the opening set to the flaming Italian redhead, Yannick Sinner, who is my bet to win the men's French Open crown. We are in for a dandy on semifinal Friday over at Roland Garros. We both have Iga Świątek, who is a very hefty favorite to win the women's title. She is, I believe, at this moment, oh my God, -2100 favorite to win the women's title. DRS, it's a Donnie Dreisaitl household. Oilers in how many?
Oilers in 7, people. Win it in the United States. Take the cup back to Canada.
Wow, I have it happening in Canada. Oilers in 6, hour 3 next.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.